Be pleased to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A couple of you penned this reference in 1 Thessalonians 4 on your cards or your texts, and really appreciated that. And it's been on my mind, as you can understand, from the very beginning of Mom's downfall or her going through the valley, the shadow of death. I whispered in her ear these verses the last time I saw her alive. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I trust that you'll bear with me as I feel like I'm giving closure to my own soul in preaching this morning. It seems strange not to have a funeral service and a graveside service. It just seems like there's a little bit of a confusion there. But I felt that the Lord would give liberty to minister today. I'll be sitting in the pews when the memorial service takes place, and appropriately the minister that served Mom for 30 years will be giving the message. But this is a comfort in a way. Word of God bringing comfort. But though many of you have suffered bereavements in the last few months, and you know how much God's Word means so much to you in these times. Death is a terrible enemy. It kills our bodies and separates our souls from our bodies, and often for a considerable amount of time. You consider Abel and Adam and Eve and Noah and David, they've been dead a long time. But sooner or later, they're going to be reunited with their bodies again. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, death would be followed by the second death of the soul. And it would be an enemy that would defeat and reign over us forever. But death does not end at all for believers. Our believing communities, our sister churches, and especially in the believing community in general, have experienced much death lately. I know, as I mentioned, Dave Mook lost his mom. Dr. Bert Oatley Willis, who preached here years ago when he was able to travel, Kay McKercher. Some of you remember Peter Vanderwall, who went to school with me up in Toronto. He lost his mom. She moved out to Calgary, but her body was brought back to be buried next to her husband, who was tragically killed in a construction accident that left a young widow and orphans years and years ago. She also went to heaven recently. A car accident took a young man and his aunt, Daniel Petka, and his aunt, Helen, went to be with the Lord. Rod just lost his brother-in-law. My mom, just 8 days ago, left this world for the world to come. And again, I thank you for the condolences and the concern in so many tangible ways. Mom knew the Lord. The Lord knew Mom. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Mom's first full day in heaven was the Sabbath day here. But she entered the Sabbath, the one long eternal Sabbath. And now she's been there over a week. You do imagine what goes on in heaven? Surely she saw the Lord Jesus before she saw anyone else. What happens when you go to heaven? Have you ever asked yourself that? I can picture her sister after a while. I don't know how long it takes with the crowds that are in heaven. If you can imagine crowds of souls. I don't know if they have temporary bodies. I know that Moses had a temporary body, didn't he? Was it Moses or was it Elijah and Enoch? I keep forgetting now. I think it was Elijah and Moses that came down to the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Well, we can understand Elijah coming in the body that ascended to heaven, but Moses died. What body was he in? Was it a temporary body? Was it just a vision that the disciples saw? I don't know. But I can just imagine Aunt Vera coming over to her sister and saying, "Welcome home." And her mom, Mama Marion. And then you can just imagine seeing Moses and David and Esther and Mary and all the saints that we read about in the Scriptures, the apostles. What a day that will be. Mom doesn't need our mourning. It's we who need to mourn. It's good for our souls. Precious was the Sabbath day around 1980 when I was backing into our driveway on Hopper Road in Syracuse. And Mom got my attention. She was seated about the middle of the cedar. I don't know, maybe she moved over. She was the only one back there. We had driven someone home and she had willingly gotten into the back seat. She said, "Phil, I want you to know that I asked the Lord to save me today." And in that day, I guess I was under the impression that you had to go forward in order to get saved. And I just was kind of shocked. I said, "Today, Mom?" She says, "Right in the pew where I was, I asked the Lord to save me." That was a precious day. I did see a change in her life. She began to hunger for the Word. She began to read her Bible. We still have her Bible that's marked up. She desired to worship the Lord publicly, and she began to have a burden for the rest of our family. And she gave a loving, selfless service in the nursery for many years, the nursery of the church, and did a lot of cleaning in the kitchen and cooking, just wanted to be in the background and serve the Lord. Precious was the day that Jesus took her from her bodily prison to be with Him. Psalm 116:15, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints." It was anticipated, but the anguish and the agony was still real. I had a lot of texts and a lot of messages and cards. If you'll permit me to read just a couple from my children. Jared sent a text that certainly was very timely. "Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to Him? Does He see? Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I love you, Dad. And in praying that God will strengthen you during this tough time. She is with the Lord." Jessica said, "Ah, she is." She said, "Ah," and she was feeling with our pain. "She is in a much better place now. Thank God she is with Jesus. I love you." Alyssa said, "Ah, Dad, I'm so sorry about Nana. Praying for you today. I love you." Ben I'm praying for you, Dad. Many other texts were appreciated in cards. Certainly is precious when your children feel with you. Tanya and I have so appreciated all the words of condolences. This morning I want us to be comforted in our bereaving with the truth that Christ can assuage our griefs when loved ones leave for a while, because He gives us the hope of eternity to fill in the hole in our hearts. From this text we see the death of the body does not end at all. It begins a blessed intermediate state for believers. There is life after death. The Lord promises us that. He tells us that we ought not to sorrow as others which have no hope. If there was no life after death, the sorrow would be equal. But the sorrow is different for believers. There is hope. He's saying they're okay. When they die, they're okay. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. Mom's body is dead because her spirit has left it. The sadness of a dead body is certainly pointed. It was expected all along, but to see your mom dead is a deep sadness. But where is the spirit without the body? We know where the body is without the spirit. The body goes to dust. As the Lord said to Adam, warned us that if we sinned, that our dust, our body would turn to dust in which it was made. But where is the spirit without the body? The body sleeps in Jesus. It's safe. It's a euphemism for death. It's awaiting the morning when the Lord Jesus will come. Some glorious daybreak, Jesus will come. That's what Daisy used to sing when she was able. She's sleeping. She's anticipating the resurrection. The Bible says God will bring them with Jesus again at His second coming. They're alive. But their spirits are not dead. Their souls are not in the grave. Their souls are alive with Jesus. See, there's a dichotomy in the intermediate state. The believer has heaven. Oh, it's the old heaven because it will be burned up with all the rest of the heavens and the earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. But it's where God's special presence is. The Bible says there is a heaven. But there's also a hell. Hell is called Hades. There are two intermediate states, and we assume Tartarus, that some of the angels have been sent down to, some of the demons, 2 Peter, is a compartment of Hades. There's two compartments, there's two places where spirits go when they leave the body. Heaven to be with Christ, or hell to be without Christ. God comforts believers that there is a heaven to gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to be with Christ is far better. The death of the body does not end at all. They're okay. They have begun a blessed intermediate state. They're with Jesus. We assume they're bodiless, but yet they've seen the Lord. You say, can a spirit see? Can a spirit hear? The Bible says, he that hath made the eye, can he not see? He that has made the ear, can he not hear? God is a spirit. And He sees very well. I can't understand how my bodiless soul can see and hear and sing and pray and enjoy the promises of God and enjoy the spirits of other just ones who've been made perfect, who've been perfected. But I think it's more tangible than we realize. I think it's more glorious than we can imagine. The Lord tells us that the death of the body does not end at all. Don't sorrow as others. And I've been to funerals, and I have been on that side of sorrowing without any hope. I can remember sorrowing at the funeral of my cousin's husband who went down in his motorcycle underneath the ice, Lake Oneida, Oneida Lake, in his snowmobile. I can remember the sadness that just enveloped the whole atmosphere. I can remember my poor cousin crying out over the coffin, over the dead body, "You promised me that you wouldn't cut across the lake." I can remember the deep sadness of not knowing where Dick was. What a blessing to be on this side, to have the hope of eternal life, to be able to see a loved one who you know, though they're no longer in that body, their spirit is safe with Jesus. The Lord says, comfort one another with these words. It should burden us to reach many other people with the gospel so that they can be saved and have the same hope that if they die, that they would be with Christ. Secondly, we find a comfort for bereaving believers is that the resurrection of the body will abruptly and gloriously end that intermediate state. It is an intermediate state. It's a parenthesis between death and the resurrection. It's what's happening now while we still live on this sinful world. In the sinful world, there are believers in bliss. They don't have bodies, at least most of them. We are told that at least two were translated. The Lord Jesus was raised and ascended in His glorified body, and there were others that came out of the tombs after Christ rose from the dead, and they're in heaven. So there's a sample, if you will, in heaven. There's a sample of believers who are in their glorified bodies, saying that there is going to be a resurrection. And there's a sample of believers in their translated bodies, which is a guarantee that those who are alive and remain shall also be caught up together with them in the clouds. But the resurrection of the body will abruptly and gloriously end the intermediate state. Resurrection is such a sweet word that we take for granted, but it comes alive again at these times of sorrow. That God will bring, God will send them with Christ, we're told. We will not prevent, we will not precede, we will not go before them who have slept. That is, they'll meet the Lord. They'll go up before we are translated if we're still alive. Their bodies will ascend before we are translated, before these bodies are changed. John 5, Jesus said, "All that are in the grave shall hear His voice." I believe that that day that's being spoken of in John 5 and the day that's spoken of in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the second coming of Christ. The resurrection of the lost is not specifically spoken of in 1 Corinthians 4 because it's a comfort to believers, but it is indicated in that there are those that have no hope at the resurrection. But I believe that the general resurrection will take place. The believers' resurrection is singled out. They'll hear Christ's voice. Twice we're told of the divine verbal authority. "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord." I don't understand the mechanism or the miracle for the resurrection, but I believe that God can raise the dead. I believe He has raised the dead, that there is a resurrection of the dead and a translation of the living. How shall He do it? We leave that up to Him. Is it a thing incredible for us to believe that God raises the dead? If He can cause the dust to return to dust, He can cause that returned dust to be made again into a body. He can cause dust to be another body. He can cause those who've been cremated into ashes to be brought back to life. Those buried at sea, eaten by fish or animals, God can bring them back again. Those who have, in rebellion, planned for their spread of the ashes over the world so that God could not raise them from the dead, will find out that God can recoup those ashes and bring them back again. At His second coming, that the Lord Himself shall descend bodily, is the idea, from heaven with a shout. It's His shout, the shout of the King among them. With the angels, with the voice of the archangel. And the signal will be especially the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's His promise. And the living shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Literally, for a meeting of the Lord in the air. I believe in one resurrection. I believe that that meeting is a meeting regarding war. It's a war cry when it says that He'll descend from heaven with a shout. It says we'll meet in the lower atmosphere. That's the idea of the air. That we'll meet with the Lord and those who've gone on before us, if we're still alive, and we'll meet in the air, and the Lord will descend again all the way to earth. And He will raise the lost to judgment. And there will be a destruction of those who are alive. They will be raised again to judgment. What a blessed experience it is for God's people to have new bodies, whether they be raised or translated. I protested that my mother was going to be cremated. I did my best to try to change my family's decision, but I commit it to the Lord. I just can't reckon with the fact that she's just now burned to ashes. That body that was so delicate and so cuddled and so precious to us. I can't understand that. But I'll tell you, it was a comfort. Another one of my children's texts. It doesn't matter now. When the resurrection of the dead comes, she will come up whole out of the grave to meet the Lord in the air. That was a great comfort. The resurrection of the body will gloriously end that intermediate state. What a day that will be. Thirdly, the reunion with the body and with believers will be eternal. We're told we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. God will bring with them, us with them, we're told. The with speaks of togetherness, participation with. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Three times that preposition is mentioned, which speaks of togetherness, participation in the same blessing. And notice it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word ever is the word always. So shall we always be with the Lord. It's a synonym for forever. Forever we'll be with Christ. Everlasting life from the everlasting God. Eternity. What a sweet word that is. Eternity. There is a heaven to gain for God's people. But do you notice one thought that we're given, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again? Don't miss that spot. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what does that mean, if we believe? Certainly it doesn't mean that our believing makes the resurrection occur, as if somehow our unbelief would and all hopes of a resurrection would change God's mind. But it says at least a couple of things, that only believers have this hope and can be rightly comforted. And I think especially what it means in this context is that faith today receives comfort today. That if we don't believe, if our faith is low, if we are disbelieving, if we are unbelieving believers today, we can't find that hope today. If we believe, then we can take these words as comfort. that our faith is the means by which we take comfort from God's Word. I can't see. I can't see Mom in heaven. I can't even visualize the just shall live by faith. By faith I take this as a comfort from the Lord. I believe His promises. He doesn't lie. He forgives repentant sinners. And He gives eternal life. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. By faith I have hope. And the biblical hope is not a whistle in the dark. Biblical hope is assurance. By faith I take comfort that death has not ended it. That there is going to be a tomorrow. There is going to be a reunion. By faith we have a great expectation that Jesus is coming back again. He's going to reunite us with our loved ones who have gone on in Christ before us. By faith there is life after death. By faith we believe that there is resurrection. God has promised it and we receive it by faith. And by faith we lay hold upon the truth that God has prepared eternal life and has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. These are comforts that God gives to bereaving believers. Some of us are going to have to tuck this in for a day that may be coming soon when we will have another lost loved one taken into eternity. I thank God that these are present comforts for us who experience these bereavements. God gives comfort to grieving believers. There is a life after death. There is going to be a resurrection and a reunion. God has given eternity to those who've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? Remind us in closing, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray.